Beloved, turn in your Bibles to the book of Ecclesiastes. Turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 10, beginning at verse 12, and we'll be reading from verses 12 through 15. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, beginning at verse 12. This is the word of God. Words from the mouth of a wise man are gracious, while the lips of a fool consume him. The beginning of his talking is folly, and the end of it is wicked madness. Yet the fool multiplies words. No man knows what will happen, and who can tell him what will come after him? The toil of a fool so wearies him that he does not even know how to go to a city. Our Father and God, we thank you for these words of life and teaching. We pray that we would pay heed to them and learn from them and grow. In Jesus' name, amen. Had you ever purchased a diamond or another valuable stone from a jeweler? Have you ever noticed how the jeweler will convince you to buy the stone? Well, this is the procedure that's usually followed. He usually places it on a piece of black cloth. Why? Well, the contrast of the stone's color and qualities are enhanced by the darkness of the cloth. So, a diamond ring you buy for your best girl, that's going to look really great against that black cloth, and you're going to be convinced it'll look even better on her ring finger. And so you'll buy it. That's what the jeweler's hope is. He's showing you it's a beautiful stone. Well, Solomon has from chapter 1 pressed on us the importance and value of wisdom. You look at chapter 1, 13, and verses, chapter 2 and verse 9, I'll read them together. And I set my mind to seek and explore by wisdom concerning all that has been done under heaven. It is a grievous task which God has given to the sons of men to be afflicted with. And then chapter 2, then I became great and increased more than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. My wisdom also stood by me. So he's interested in wisdom in this book. And he has been enhancing the value of wisdom here ever since he contrasted it with folly in chapter 2, verses 12 through 14, where he says, "So I turned to consider wisdom, madness, and folly. For what will the man do who will come after the king except what has already been done? And I saw that wisdom excels folly as light excels darkness." Notice the contrast. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness. He's going to pick up on that theme here. And yet I know that one fate befalls them both. And of course, then he was speaking of death. We could multiply the examples in Ecclesiastes alone of how Solomon contrasts wisdom and folly. And he does the same thing in his book of Proverbs. If you read that sometime, notice those contrasts. And now as he prepares to conclude his book, and that's really where he's beginning to set up to go with this passage, as he prepares to conclude his book, he gives that contrast again. But he does it with more emphasis and clarity in our text. And rather than simply telling us that wisdom is a good thing, he speaks of and contrasts a wise man and a fool and shows us the qualities that define them and thus makes wisdom shine more brightly in our thinking. Notice how he refers to the wise man only once, but to the fool three times. He describes the wise man's character once and once only, but he describes the fool's character three times, both in terms of his words and his activity, or as you'll see, his lack of activity. Thus, by setting it against the dark background of folly, Solomon promotes a hunger for wisdom in us by putting human faces on both folly and wisdom. So, 2 points. And the first one is, I want you to behold the dark cloth of folly. In general, This is how Solomon portrays a fool in his book of Proverbs. Proverbs 1:22 and 18:2. I set my mind to seek and explore by wisdom concerning all that has been done under heaven. It is a grievous task which God has given to the sons of men to be afflicted with. And then I became great and increased more than all who preceded me in Jerusalem. My wisdom also stood by me. The fool hates knowledge and takes no pleasure in understanding. The fool also, in the second place, loves to do mischief, and he loves to talk about doing mischief too. Proverbs 10:23a and 15:2. So I turn to consider wisdom, madness, and folly. For what will the man do who will come after the king except what has already been done? And I saw that wisdom excels folly as light excels darkness. The wise man's eyes are in his head, but the fool walks in darkness, and yet I know that one fate befalls them both. The fool loves to do mischief, and he loves to talk about doing it. There is, in fact, from Solomon's perspective, no redeeming value in the thought or life of a fool. As we've noted before in this book of Ecclesiastes, the fool says in his heart, there is no God, or he says no to God. That's what he says according to Solomon's words in Hebrews. It's either no, there is no God, or no to God, depending on how you translate the Hebrew. That's how Solomon portrays a fool in his book of Proverbs. Now, see what Solomon says about the fool in our text in verses 12 through 15. Look at 12b. He devours his or her own personal worth. Proverbs 21:9, Solomon tells us it's better to live in the corner of a roof than in a house shared with a contentious woman. He's expressing the folly of a contentious woman. She devours her own worth by being contentious. Then in verse 13 of our text, from the moment he starts to speak to the moment he stops speaking, the fool moves from being foolish to being stark, raving mad. He speaks no sense. Then in verse 14 of our text, the fool talks too much, often speaking with certainty about what the future will bring, even when God has not told anyone what he, that is God, is doing. Which probably indicates that he's not read or studied the Bible to know if or what God has spoken about. And then verse 15. He hates to work. Read the text in verse 15. The toil of a fool so wearies him that he does not even know how to go to a city. Now the sense of this is that he hates to work. And he doesn't even have the sense to go to the city. In fact, he may not even know where to go in the city to get a job to support himself with. He's committed to a life of laziness, not hard work. The fool has, in fact, mastered the dubious art of living as though God does not exist or even care how he lives or what he says. He acts as if there is, in fact, no God, or if he knows there's a God, he refuses to act according to God's commands. He says no to God. You see, the fool answers to no one but himself. And the fool has no clue about life and why the world is so messed up. Because he does not know that he is a sinner. He does not realize that his life is messed up. And that is because the reason he doesn't understand any of this, the reason he doesn't want to work, doesn't want to go to the city to find a job, is because he has denied God. And that means he never had read the scriptures, or if perchance he has, he ignores them like a fool. Do you see it? The Lord has painted a portrait of the fool in two places in scripture. Three, including where we're reading it here. The first place would be in Psalm 1. You don't have to turn there. Not now. Because Psalm 1 contrasts a blessed man who is wise and the wicked man who is not. The second place that the portrait of the fool is painted is in the character of Adam the first, who did not follow the wisdom of God when it came to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, rather than following God's instructions and turning away from that tree and eating from just about any tree he wanted in the garden. He took of the fruit, thinking it looked good and was good for making him wise. He ate it and thus became a fool himself, or acted foolishly and manifested his foolishness by eating of the tree. Solomon, and hence, as we've noted, Solomon is Christ speaking through him. Solomon, and hence Christ himself, makes it clear that the fool is ungodly and is in fact a true child of the first Adam, whose folly led to the fall. So the dark cloth of folly is clear. But secondly, I want you to look and behold the precious diamond of wisdom. Solomon tells us clearly what makes wisdom glisten and shine brightly. Look at the first part of verse 12. Words from the mouth of a wise man are gracious. Christ in general adds his amen here when he says in Matthew 12:31, out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. It's clear what is abundantly in the heart of the wise man is the wisdom that comes from on high. Which is why Solomon tells us in Proverbs 4:23 to keep the heart with all diligence. And Proverbs 10:11 could not make it more clear. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence. The wise man's gracious speech flows from a gracious heart, a heart that's been renewed by the Holy Spirit and filled with grace. What was it that marked Christ out so clearly to people but his gracious words? The people loved to listen to him. They would travel for miles on foot for hours without food to do it, to listen to Christ, to listen to his words of life, and recognize in him the wisdom that comes from on high. The tax collectors and the sinners, trodden down by the religious authorities who clearly did not care about their souls in Galilee, these tax collectors and sinners gladly heard Jesus speak of God's mercy and love because he knew he was speaking of God's mercy and love for them. Thus, the wise man or woman is someone who speaks like Christ. The wise man or woman is someone who majors in speaking the words of God and the scriptures, which are, in fact, the wisdom of God, the wisdom from on high. And this is why we find Solomon extolling wisdom as the key to living life in a fallen world with less frustration. Turn with me to chapter 8, please. Turn with me to chapter 8. Look at verse 1. Who is like the wise man, and who knows the interpretation of a matter? A man's wisdom illumines him and causes his stern face to beam. Wisdom is the key to living a happy life in a fallen world. It's the key to happy words. It's the key to wise speech that reflects the happiness of Christ. Wisdom is the key to living a happy life in a fallen world. And then go down to verses 16 and 17. Solomon says, when I gave my heart to know wisdom and to see the task which has been done on the earth, even though one should never sleep day or night, and I saw every work of God, I concluded that man cannot discover the work which has been done under the sun. Even though man should seek laboriously, he will not discover. And though the wise man should say, I know, he cannot discover. Why can't he discover? It's because it's too immense, it's too large, there's too much of it to take in. Wisdom comes from carefully observing the work of God, even although one can never know it comprehensively. You need to observe the work of God, and wisdom shines out from it. And the wise man knows he and his labor are all in God's hands as to their outcome. Chapter 9, verse 1. For I have taken all this to my heart and explain it, that righteous men, wise men, and their deeds are in the hand of God. Man does not know whether it will be love or hatred. Anything awaits him. The wise man says his life and every outcome of it is in God's hands. And from this he knows where God wants him to find fulfillment and joy. Chapter 9, verses 7 through 10. Go then, eat your bread in happiness, and drink your wine with a cheerful heart. For God has already approved your works. He's already approved of your enjoying your bread and being happy with a cheerful heart. Let your clothes be white at all times, and let not oil be lacking on your head. Dress well, shave, and put on perfume or aftershave, and look and smell good. That's part of God's gift. And enjoy life with the woman whom you love all the days of your fleeting life, which he has given to you under the sun. For this is your reward in life and in your toil in which you have labored under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For there is no activity or planning or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol to where you are going. Wisdom is seen in this life by the works and gifts of God that you are given to enjoy. God wants you to find fulfillment and joy in his works. Do you see it now? The Lord has painted a portrait of the wise man in two places in Scripture as well. He did that with regard to the fool, and he's done it in the Scriptures in two places. Psalm 1, and his portrait of the wise man who feeds his heart with Scripture and lives according to it. He is that blessed man. And then he's painted that image, that portrait of the wise man who feeds his heart with Scripture and lives according to it, in the character of Adam the Second, our Lord Jesus Christ, who took delight in the word of his Father and took delight in doing it precisely, no more and no less than as the Father gave it to him. I always do the things that please him. I keep his word. I obey him. Thus Solomon, and hence, again, Christ speaking with Solomon's accent, makes it clear that the words of a wise man are gracious because they come from a heart rooted in grace. Now, dear Christian believer, would you be a gracious soul in your influence and words in this world and in your families? Then fill your heart with the word of God and seek to live it out. And for that, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit, who is at work to fill your character with likeness to Jesus Christ, who is certainly wiser than Solomon. Thus he taught his disciples the way to be wise in the last passage I want you to turn to tonight. I want you to turn to John chapter 15. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 11. John 15, 1 through 11, with the words of Jesus, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it, so that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to me be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Beloved, do you want to be wise like your master? Do you want the diamond quality of wisdom that dwelt in Christ to abide in you? Then abide in him, and let his works abide in you. Study his words and his works to show yourself approved by Jesus, and so bring joy to his heart, and then you will truly bring joy to your own heart. And thus Christ's plea to you and to me this night is, be wise and I am as I am wise. and thus be blessed by the Father. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are truly the wise shepherd of your people. You are our wisdom. To know you is to know wisdom from on high. Help us to reflect that wisdom in the way we deal with one another in the coming week, the way we deal with our co-workers, the way we deal with the events that come into our lives. Give us, O Lord, a gracious spirit filled with the wisdom from on high, that we might please you in our response to the challenges we face, and of course, in response to the blessings you give us. For Jesus' sake, amen.